I'd like to use Romans 1, 16 through 18. Romans 1, 16 through 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'd like to take this text and preach on a message entitled, The Power of God. Pastor, would you please pray?
Our Heavenly Father, once again, we just count it such a privilege and honor, Lord, to be able to look to your word, Lord, and to Lord, not only study it here, but Lord, hopefully take it within our hearts, Lord, that it may add life to us, Lord. For your words are life, Lord. And we ask that you would help our brother to share your word, rightly dividing it, that, Lord, we would leave here today with a blessing, Lord, filled to overflowing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I was looking for, I wanted a message to thunder out of heaven, dear Lord, and speak to my heart. And I was thinking, and I was praying, and I was sitting in front of the computer, and I was mulling it over in my mind. And finally, I asked my wife, where's the shoebox? The shoebox? Yes, the shoebox. You know, that little place where I keep sermons and outlines that I've preached before. I started digging through the outlines that I did for it. And I was praying over, oh, Lord, is this the one? Oh, God, is this the one? Nathan, that's a cop-out. That's an escape. Sometimes that's what God has for you, I suppose. The power of God. The power of God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 reads, for the Word of God is quick. I always used to think, quick. That means fast. Like lightning. Quick in this word actually means alive. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word has great power. It has the power to change lives of men and women. It has the power to reach out and touch your heart unlike anything on this earth. One thing I found in the shoebox, besides spider webs and things, I found Sunday school notes from my kids. I did. Pictures of them when they were young, and they were in superhero poses and stuff, and they were doing all kinds of cool stuff, and read it over, and there were handwritten notes in there about what they expect from their future and what they want to do with their lives. I was like, wow, what a blessing. I left them out. I didn't put them back in the shoebox. It has the power to change the lives of men and women. It has the power to convince or to convict men and women of their sins. It is a revealer of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The heart. You know, you see those symbols everywhere? I heart my Marine, or I heart New York. That's actually where it came from. I love New York. But the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And our sister touched on it this morning. She was talking about 1 Corinthians 13. And she said, and everybody knows what 1 Corinthians 13, anybody want to say it? And I was thinking, the whole chapter? But I was thinking, the whole chapter? Yes, that's it. What's 1 Corinthians 13? The love chapter. Not the love boat, the love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove the mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Speaking about the power of God, and God is love. So you could call this the love chapter. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For we now see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That's King James English. Charity, of course, means love. Love. You ever think, you know what? I'm showing all the love, and then you kind of start thinking of 1 Corinthians 13. And, well, is that really that love thing that I just said? Did I say that? Was that full of love? That demonstrate love? Talking about the power of God. God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We talked about the power of God's word. We talk about the power of our words. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. Our words reveal what is in our heart. You get around somebody, and they talk all about hunting, all day long. What's in their heart? They talk about baseball all day long. They talk about their spouse all day long. Or that really cute girl that they met not too long ago. What's in their heart? The Dodgers. Granted, Jesus, not the Dodgers. If the Dodgers are in your heart, though, that's there are a lot worse things that could be in your heart. The Yankees, something like that. Our words reveal what is in our heart. And I've said it before. You ever replay the words that came out of your mouth in a day? What did I find myself speaking of this day? Was it good news? Was it positive, powerful, uplifting, full of grace and love and mercy? The only person that would know is you. Where were you? Were you with your mouth all day long? Was your mouth with you all day long? I don't remember saying that. Believe you will. What does what you have spoken about this day say about you? James 3:2 says, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. James. You've got to love James. I've said it before, it's like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Think you got everything all put in line, in order, and everything's good and gravy? Woo-hoo! Everything's just peachy keen with me. I am so righteous and holy. I am so where God wants me to be. Open the book of Proverbs. Start reading line by line. You make it through the book of Proverbs, or into the book of James. It's only five chapters. For if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. For we offend people not by not running to the same excess of riot with them. It's in 1 Peter 4:4. Wherein they think it strange, odd, weird. What's wrong with that person? That you run not to the same excess of riot with them. They speak evil of you. I've heard people say, oh, that's Jesus freaks. They're just a bunch of mind control people. They just want somebody to come and take control of their life because they're not confident in themselves to rule their own affairs. They need somebody else to set them in line. Why, they're the most evil, wicked people on the face of the earth. They must be. Maybe you never heard stuff. I have. Another thing I saw in my notes, I was digging through my notes. I don't even know what it was within reference to. I saw one line across the top of a note that said, the Old Testament spoke of justice. The New Testament speaks of justified. Wow. That's good. When did I write that? Did I borrow it from somebody? I don't know. It was a long time ago. Covered in spider webs. Eggs. The word of God is likened unto a sword, and it can be used as a weapon, and we must be careful how we use it. I know it's kind of, I like an old Randy Travis song. I know Randy Travis is a redneck. Okay, wonderful. He's got that voice. He released a gospel album. In one of his songs, he said, Lord, help me to keep my mouth and not to use it like a gun. He said, I lose it and use it like a gun. I was like, wow. There it is. The word of God is likened unto a sword, and it can be used as a weapon. We must be careful how we use it. It is not a weapon to slay the unrighteous. We're not to take up the sword of the Spirit and go after people to slay them with it. Jesus died for the unrighteous, not so we could destroy them, but so that He could redeem them. I've heard people say, well, it's like a two-edged sword because it cuts both ways. True. James 3. Back to the gospel. To the epistle of James, Nathan. Yes. Dangerous ground. James 3, verse 11 and 12. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Now, I've heard people say, well, you get all fall into that fruits thing, you know, you bite into the vine and you'll get fruits, and that's kind of a legalistic kind of way of thinking, that's dangerous. I had this discussion one time at work with somebody. It was a guy who was talking to me about God. And there was another guy, he was kind of Assemblies of God attendee, whatever. And this guy was actually contending with him about it. So you have to do this and that and the other to go to heaven. That's what you're saying? And the guy was kind of drawn up short. Like, you know, the guy was pretty, you know, in your face about it. And I interjected and I said, no. You don't do those things to earn salvation. You do those things because you are saved. Both sets of eyes got big, like, wow. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain, both yield salt water and fresh. What does your fruit say of you? I've said it before, and this is I'm just putting in different words from the scripture there. How do you know it's an apple tree? Got apples on it. Well, it looks like an apple tree, but it's got oranges on it. What is it? It's an orange tree. It looks like a Christian, but it's got all kinds of ungodly fruit on it. Smoke and fire. There are differences between smoke and fire. Fire burns. You're cold? You want to heat yourself up? You build a smoke, right? No, okay. You build a fire, right? Why? Because fire gives you heat, right? What does smoke do? Gets in your eyes, burns your lung, hurts, eyes start watering, get hard to breathe. There's differences between smoke and fire. Smoke can flavor something. I cannot stand the smell of pot smoke. Why do you live in Humboldt County, brother? I grew up around here. I cannot stand the stink of pot smoke. I go outside and I smell it in the neighborhood, and I go right back in the house and I close up all the windows and doors. I don't want to smell it. It's disgusting. But it doesn't burn you. It just kind of clings to you and gives you that smell. I think people who smoke pot don't smell it. There must be some kind of block there. You burned out or something. You don't smell it. People say, oh, where there's smoke, there must be fire. I don't know. Sometimes there's just a lot of stink. There is no fire at all. Religious people got smoke coming off of them. Wow, they must be full of the glory of God. They got Christianese coming out of their mouth. Go to church. Do all the Christian things. The difference between smoke and fire is that fire burns and produces heat. Smoke just conceals, covers things. Big clouds of visible smoke. You know, people can die of smoke inhalation. People can die of hypocrisy too. What you preaching about, brother? Preach about the power of God. Proverbs 6:27. Proverbs and James, Nathan. Proverbs and James. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Is it possible? Well, I don't really want the fire of God. I just want a little bit of a waft, an odor, a scent of God. I just want a little bit of, you know, God vaporizer. I'll put it in my pocket. That way I'll smell godly. Can man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Okay, I got a visual from the Hobbit movie. When the dragon is about to breathe fire, he like inhales and he's glowing this big furnace of fire up his neck. Okay, that's fire. If you take the fire of God into your breast, you should have some consequence. You're not going to breathe fire and consume people. But what I mean is, there should be something that comes out of you that's not just smoke. There should be something that enlightens, that warms, that encourages, that kindles. Difference between smoke and fire. This is the property of fire. It consumes utterly. You light something on fire, and you come back the next day, what do you have? Pile of ashes. That's right. Maybe a few coals. Stir around that thing. You might find a few embers. But is that the same? No. If you take the fire of God into your breast, it will absolutely, positively change your life. Well, I accepted Christ, but nothing really happened. It didn't really change a whole lot. You know, I'm still the same old Joe, or Nathan, or whomever you are. Is that the power of God? The power of God is to burn the chaff in our lives with the fire of the Word of God. That is the power of God. I don't see how people can claim that they have God in their lives. I'm reminded of a Bible school story. Not my testimony, somebody else shared it, and it was just incredible. This is a Baptist man, a Pentecostal man, real people, I'm not making them up. This is not an allegory or type or shadow. This is really two people. This Pentecostal man, this old Baptist man, they were talking at work. And this Pentecostal man, he was going to revival. And he was trying to get the Baptist man to come with him. Oh, you got to come, you got to come. That preacher, he was on fire, he was on fire. Oh man, the glory of God came down. Oh man, we were jumping, shouting, we were praising the Lord. Whoo, I'm coming, I'm riding high. And you know, he's trying to get this other fellow excited, you know. And day after day, you know, he's like, this revival's going on. And pretty soon, old Baptist man looks at him and says, you know, you tell me about this fire of God, but you never change. Wow! That fire of God that's consuming people, it's moving people, getting people excited and happy. It should bring about a change in your life. Shouldn't just be something we celebrate on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. It should bring about a change in your life. And it's not about earning salvation. It's because you are saved. Because any man or woman, be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is the power of God. Matthew 12, 35-36 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. What is idle? Something's idle. Stagnant. Just idling. You pull up to the stop sign. You're just idling. Your car's going boom, 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 boom. You got a loud one. You want some power. What do? Engage that transmission. Push some gas. Whoa! Now you're burning rubber. You're throwing lots of smoke and fire and everything. Why? Because now you're no longer idle. Thank you, brother. It almost says here that God expects us not to be full of idle words. Almost. You're talking about it this morning, and okay, I know, I'm interjecting baseball again. Two men. Both swing the wood. Drive the ball out of the park. What's the difference? Microphone in the face. What do they say? I don't know what the second man said. The one I'm thinking of said, Well, I just want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Praise God. First Kings 19 and 12. I love this. Talking about the power of God. This is God speaking. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Never seen wind that could break rocks. That's the mighty wind right there. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, a great earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a great fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still, small voice. Talking about the power of God. Sometimes when we're looking for the power of God, we're looking for the great, mighty, miraculous, overwhelming, awe-inspiring works. We're looking for the lightning and the thunder and the fire and the great tempestuous winds. And the Lord answers us with a still, small voice. And if it's the voice of God, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's exactly what you have need of. I want to close with Revelation 3, 20 and 21, speaking about the power of God. And the power of God is for what? It's to overwhelm us, to overpower us, to bring us to our knees. Why? I said I was going to Revelation, and I will, but first I'm going to go back to our text. Romans 1, 16 and 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, deliverance, changing, redeeming, justifying. Is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. That is the power of God. For all of God's awesome majesty and power, he stands at the door and knocks. He's not going to knock the door down. He wouldn't even need a battering ram. He stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And it's up to us to allow the power of God in our lives. The power of God is limitless, but it's limited to you in that you don't allow it in your life. It's limited in Nathan's life only if Nathan will not allow it to work for me. Is God limited by me? But he's limited in my life, and my power is I will only appropriate from him. what I allow. I am closing. One time his preacher was closing, he said, "In closing!" Little boy in the first row leaned over to his dad and said, "Dad, what does in closing mean?" Dad looked at him and said, "Absolutely nothing." It means nothing at all. Talking about the power of God, I'm sorry, there's one last thing I want to share. Say you got a job. I know it's a stretch. Imagine your job is to dig a trench from here down the street. Your boss leaves you a brand new shiny Case 580L's Extendahoe. Key, fuel in it. And that machine can dig from here down the street about half an hour. With precision. Master gives you the key. Boss leaves. You look around and say, "You know, that's a really nice machine, but it's all shiny and I'd really hate to ding it. I don't want to scratch up the bucket. I don't want to cause any trouble. I mean, what if I get on that thing and it's so awesome and powerful that I actually hurt something, I dig too deep, or I cause some damage? What if something goes wrong?" So instead of using that shiny new tractor, you go and grab a shovel and start kicking, turning over the soil. When your boss comes back and sees your progress, do you think he'll be pleased? Why not? He gave you all the power, all the necessary equipment, and the permission, the instruction to use it to accomplish the task that he set out before you. And he's not going to be pleased with whatever excuse you give him or why it didn't get done. Talking about the power of God. It's a whole lot better than a Case 580 backhoe. And it's unto salvation. Pastor.